We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we're for the people of Missouri. We're for brewmasters, stockbrokers, beauty queens, and truck drivers. Whatever you do, if you're a Missourian, we're for you. We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we've got Missouri covered.
Player, coach, pain in the ass. He's done it all on the gridiron from South Bend to Arrowhead. From football on the radio, back to football, then more radio, then a little more football, and now radio again. It's Tim Grunhard on the program. Tim Grunhard is presented by CBD American Shaman. Do you know what the benefits of CBD are? Stop in at one of the 40-plus CBD American Shaman locations and see how CBD can bring balance to your body and mind. CBDAmericanShaman.com.
Welcome back into the program. I'm Todd Leboster, and Petro is off this week. Curtis Siebold is here. Adam Dravetta is here. We've got two interns cramming everything they can into the sports centers, eating cookies. That's what we're doing, and we're not making trades. But we are joined by Tim Grunhard, brought to you by CBD American Shaman. Grunny, I know you're in Florida, and I know you are ready for us to stop talking Chiefs at any moment to announce a Royals trade if it happens, but it hasn't happened yet today, buddy.
Oh, no. Yeah, I've been watching the Royals trades and watching Chicago Cubs as they – go ahead and trade away all their great players and just go back into the terrible Chicago Cubs teams of the 1970s. So, baseball is a weird deal, and today is the trade day. So what's the news? Who are the candidates for the Royals to be traded
today?
Well,
there's, Scott Barlow, Whit Merrifield, Michael A. Taylor, lots of them.
Brad Keller
or whoever, but nothing has happened yet. We have 56 minutes left before the trade deadline, and the Royals have officially put their lineup out, which doesn't mean anything. They can trade someone and scratch them.
It just means that anything from this point on would be an official reversal of the lineup.
And those players are all in the lineup tonight. Now, Scott Barlow's not because he's a relief pitcher. But nothing has happened. But be ready for us to jump in at any moment and say something has happened, Tim. That's just where we are.
Isn't Brad Keller on the mound tonight?
Yep. Yes, he is supposed to throw tonight. So, yeah.
So he could possibly have somebody walk into the locker room as he's going through his progression. Like most starting pitchers do, they have their kind of quirky things that they do. He could be in the middle of that, and they could say, you're traded, and you're not pitching today, and we'll see you later.
That could absolutely happen. He was supposed to throw yesterday till about 4 o'clock. Now, maybe he knew he wasn't going to throw because he was set to be the guy, and then Daniel Lynch threw. It's baseball, man. It is what it is. But we're waiting, and Royals fans are hoping that there's going to be some action, and it has not happened at this point, Timmy. But what did happen today up in St. Joseph was Orlando Brown was on the practice field. And last time you and I talked, I don't think you were super confident that he was going to be up there anytime soon. What do you make of him getting up there at this point in camp, and what will this mean for him?
Well, I was glad I was wrong. I'm glad he's there. I think it's really important for Orlando Brown to be there for a lot of reasons. Number one is the offensive line, those five guys. It's so important in training camp. And as we go into the first week of training camp, I believe today was either practice number 6 or number 7, this is when you start to work on that communication, work on that relationship, whether it's pass blocking or run blocking, work on the different feels of the offensive line play that is so important as you go into the season. So I'm really glad that Orlando Brown is in. He went ahead and took the franchise tag, and he's going to get paid handsomely because of that. He said all the right things today, as he said that he wants to be a Kansas City Chief for the rest of his career, although he said that his contract did not have enough guarantees. I'm not sure if that's going to change particularly much next year. The Chiefs are always going to have team-friendly deals. That's kind of their MO. They're going to pay you, but they're going to make it work for their cap, so we'll see if they change that theory next year when they go ahead and try to sign Orlando Brown again. But next year is next year. This is this year. So I'm glad he's in. He talked about how he was playing tennis and swimming and working out. He feels like he's in pretty good shape. I will tell you this, guys. I've tried both of those things. In the 11 years, you try all kinds of different things to get in shape for training camp. you know, you have the road running and you have running on tracks and you have, you know, doing gassers and you have doing stairs and doing hills. And I've done the tennis thing. In fact, Sarah and I played tennis today. Well, I'm not very good at it, but I seem to run around a lot more than she does. And so I just, like, hit it right to her, and she just, like, runs me around the court. And that's basically what I did when I trained. And then, of course, swimming. I've always been into swimming. But I will say that those things, they may, you know, kind of work on your cardio and work on your just general shape. But there's nothing like playing football and getting in football shape. So I'm glad that he's there. I'm glad that he feels good about the shape that he's in. But I'm sure he's got a long way to go before he can line up against the Arizona Cardinals. And I'm glad that he's up in St. Joe right now getting ready for that game because, listen, this is going to be a really, really tough season for the offensive line. I'm not saying that the offensive line is one of the best offensive lines we had in a long time, but there's just a lot of talent in the AFC West, and they're playing a lot of teams with some good football players on the defensive side. So that offensive line's got to play well, and it's nothing like getting together in a couple weeks of training camp to go and working on the communication and working on kind of working together. I'm glad he's in.
I am glad, too. Let's play one kind of a question and answer period that you're talking about with Orlando Brown, who was not there when the veterans reported, and he was not there on the field yesterday, but was there today, and he wasn't on the field the entire time because they have an acclimation process. They're going to ease you in there. But he was asked today why this is the right time to come back.
Yeah, man, you know, I've missed a lot of ball up until this point. And, obviously, man, I missed the locker room. I missed the coaches, you know, everyone here in the building. And I know how important this five-day stretch is to Coach Reed and everybody here at KC, man. So, you know, I just didn't feel right sitting at home missing out on this. This is something that, you know, I want to be a part of, man. You know, I was brought here to help win Super Bowls. And, this week is very important to our progression.
What was that like for you, sitting out all the OTAs, minicamp back in the spring? What was that like for you?
Yeah, man, it's always hard. You know, like I said, man, I pride myself on being a leader. I pride myself on being someone that wants to be here for his teammates and showing up every day, bringing the most positive energy that I can bring to the locker room and on the field, man. And so it was difficult to be away from it for so long. But, you know, the understanding was that, you know, I had to do what I had to do.
When you came here, you wanted to be here for the long term.
Absolutely.
Has anything that's happened in the last few months changed that?
No, man, not at all. Not at all. You know, I want to be here. I want to finish my career here in Kansas City. And, I'm sure, you know, questions out there. But, to me, man, with the contract situation, it just wasn't enough guarantees. And I want to be here for the rest of my career in Kansas City. And that's really important to me.
Wasn't enough guarantees. We'll get into that in a little bit, Tim. I will nitpick this one part. He knows how important this week is, but he's not really here this entire week, right? He wasn't on the field yesterday, and he wasn't on the field the entire time today. I'm not going to make too big of a deal about that. He's here. I agree with you. Any day in St. Joe was more than I thought he was going to do. I just really didn't feel like he was going to be in before this. I think this is great news for the Chiefs that he's there. I hope that this does not hang over his head and bother him all year long. It shouldn't. He's going to make more money this year by far than he's made as an entire career, and he should battle and grind and do the right thing. And I think being there in camp at this point is more right than not being there, but it's not quite as right as being there on time, which I kind of feel he should have been.
Yeah, it reminds me of the Slim Shady song. Will the real Slim Shady please stand up? Please stand up. Will the real Orlando Brown please stand up? I think this is a real Orlando Brown. Now, there was some indications a couple of weeks ago that the Chiefs were questioning where that guy went. Well, now that he's in camp, I thought he said all the right things. I thought that he had a great attitude with the press. I'm glad he's here, which is a really big positive towards his leadership and his character for this team. But there was just a lot of indications that the Chiefs weren't quite sure if that guy was here or not. And I'm kind of wondering, was he getting advice from somebody? Was he saying things to try to work this contract to his so that he would get paid? And, there was a lot of reports that, you know, that he was squirrely, that he was disgruntled. That, you know, the Chiefs weren't sure where that guy that we just heard was. I'm glad he's here. I'm glad that Orlando Brown not only is in camp physically, but it sounds like he's in the right mental state. Well, it just sounds that way anyways. Maybe he's pulling the wool over our eyes. I don't think so. I really don't. But, you know, all indications were, guys, and we listened to the sound, you know, a couple weeks ago that, you know, the Chiefs were a little concerned about, you know, where this guy was. So he's here. I'm glad he's here. You know, I guess he's going to have to settle for $925,000 a game for Orlando. But, you know, I'm glad that he's saying all the right things. He's doing all the right things. He's there in camp. And like you said, Lee, and I agree with you. Anytime he was going to have to make these, you know, these adaptations to being late for camp one way or another. Well, I'm glad he's doing it while camp is going on, so he'll have a couple weeks of being up in St. Joe and having some production instead of waiting until the end of camp and not having that camp kind of attitude and atmosphere that really tests you both mentally and physically. And it's on purpose, guys. Training camp is, excuse my language, it's a bitch, okay? Now it's gotten a little bit easier, but it tests you both mentally and physically. And that is a precursor to the season where you're going to be tested both mentally and physically. And the coaches know that, and that's why they test you. A lot of stuff today, a lot of situational football, a lot of short yardage goal line, a lot of 9-on-7. I love it. That's the kind of stuff that you need to build a great football team, that competition. For the people out there that don't know what 9-on-7 is, it's the 9 offensive players against the 7 defensive players, or sometimes it's the other way around. You know, it's basically offense versus defense. There's, you know, no corners and no wide receivers, and you go at it. One-on-one, mano-a-mano, and this is the first day in pads, and that's a great physical test. But more importantly, it's a great mental test, and that's what you need to have a great football season and start on the right foot. The team that can, and Andy Reid does this, that's one of the great things that Andy Reid does. He gets his team ready mentally. And then he considers the physical part of it after. But this team will be ready mentally, not just X's and O's, but understanding situational football and understanding the grind that this season is going to bring to you. So I'm glad Orlando Brown is there, that now he will be tested mentally, and he'll get himself right physically. That's so important, especially for those front five.
Aaron Wilson, who works for Pro Football Network, is one of the more better sourced, it's an excellent sentence, one of the better sourced guys who covers the NFL, said, cited a league source earlier saying that Patrick Mahomes encouraged Orlando Brown Jr. to get back to work and said it was a big factor in him reporting to training camp. What do you think of that?
No, I totally think that Patrick Mahomes would do that. Now, I don't think that Patrick Mahomes would say, hey, you know, just settle for what you got to settle for and get in here. I'm sure that Patrick Mahomes said, hey, listen, they got it. They got the franchise tag on you. There's really nothing you could possibly do about it. You know, you're going to get paid handsomely. Come on in here. You'll have a great year. You know, play with a chip on your shoulder. And then next year, when he's called in the office, I'm talking about Patrick Mahomes, and he says, listen, we need Orlando Brown to sign a long-term contract. We need him here. Did you see what he did on the field and how he protected me and how we had success with him in there? This is a point of emphasis for you guys to get this thing done this offseason, and I'm sure that Patrick Mahomes said that. He said, I got your back, buddy. Orlando, I got your back. So you come in here and you protect my blind side, and guess what? When the season ends, I'll protect your blind side, and I'll protect your back, and I'll get you your money. But we need you in here now because we can't get the things that we need to get done. Once again, I'm going to point it out because I think it's so important. Everybody out there, both mentally and physically, it's really important to have the whole gang together as you are in training camp. You can't just have parts and pieces. You got to have everybody together. If this team wants to get to where they want to go, there's a horrible taste in the mouth of the Kansas City Chiefs right now after that Cincinnati game. Don't fool yourself. That is something that's talked about. It's something that's being addressed. and they don't want to have that happen again. To lose at home in an AFC championship game when you have a lead at half is unacceptable. So, you know, this is one of those things where, hey, guys, let's get this thing together. You know, next year is not promised to any of us. So let's get our best pieces together, and let's get this thing ready to go for this year. And I think that Patrick Mahomes knows that Orlando Brown is a huge piece of the puzzle for this team to go to where they want to go.
Andy Reid last Friday made it pretty clear, at least outwardly, that they were comfortable moving forward and going into the season with the group that they were using. One, I will ask, do you think Andy Reid said that intentionally to try to light a fire under Orlando Brown? And two, do you think that's part of the reason Orlando Brown showed up when he did?
No, you know, that's what coaches say, and they have to say it. And because, you know, whether it's a guy holding out or whether you have an injury like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers had at center, you know, you lose people, and you just got to go on. That's part of it. If Orlando Brown's not there, you don't talk about him. And you know what? You just go on and say, hey, the guys that we have here are good enough. And that gives confidence to the guys that are stepping up, that are trying to take that position that Orlando Brown had and now has. It also gives, you know, confidence and credence to the guys that are there. So, you know, listen, a coach is always going to say, hey, listen, we got to go with the guys that are here, whether it's because of holding out or whether it's because of injuries. You're always going to say the right thing. But I promise you that Andy Reid was as happy as he is when he goes to get himself a burger on Sunday night after the games with double beef patties with extra ketchup and mustard and relish, all that kind of stuff on it. He was just as happy having Orlando Brown in as he is when he goes and gets those burgers on Sunday night. He's ready to go, and I think that this is a good thing for Kansas City Chiefs, and I think Andy Reid knows it.
Some more breaking NFL news. A bad day for the Broncos has gotten worse. We noted earlier that both Tim Patrick and Demarye Crockett had gone down in practice today with severe knee injuries. We heard about 25 minutes ago that Tim Patrick's was an ACL. Apparently, Demarye Crockett has also torn an ACL. So the Broncos lost two players today. One of them, their most effective wide receiver from a year ago, in Tim Patrick. Tim, the injuries. I mean, that every player fears that, and every team fears that. You really can't do much to prevent them. But I mean, that's just kind of a part of training camp. And a lot of times, it isn't a lack of preparation or conditioning or whatever. Sometimes things just pop, right?
Yeah, you know what? And that's a great point, Curtis. You really can't prevent it. It's going to happen. It's part of the game. But you'll notice that most of these kind of injuries happen early in camp, right? In the history of training camp, the first week or two is kind of that danger zone. And the reason why, there's a couple of reasons. Number one is that guys, once again, you know, they're in good shape, but they're not in football shape. All right. So, you know, you got to get yourself in football shape, and sometimes you have injuries because of it. Now, ACLs and those kind of things, there's really nothing you could do about it. And what causes that, my second point, is that guys are going full speed, and they're out of control a lot of times, and they'll fall down. Like we saw what happened in Tampa, the defensive lineman, defensive tackle, slanted in, fell down, landed on the side of their center's knee, and blew his knee out. That's the kind of stuff that happens early in camp because, A, guys just aren't used to going full speed, and B, guys are trying to make the team. So they're doing anything they can. And guys, you've been to enough practices. Lebo, I know you've been to a lot of practices out there, and you probably heard coaches say a million times, stay up, stay up, stay up, stay up. Don't go to the ground. Stay off the ground. And, you know, that's what happens early in camp is guys, they're not quite ready football shape-wise, and their techniques are just a little bit off, and they're kind of on the edge, and you start to fall down. And once you fall down, especially in the inside, you know, you can have those kind of issues. It doesn't matter whether you're wearing knee braces or not. And then you'll see a lot of times, too, you know, I'm not sure how the wide receiver, Patrick, blew his knee out, but a lot of times you'll see guys that just, you know what, they built those muscles up, and they're in great shape, and remember now the ligaments you don't build ligaments up. The ligaments are the same, and sometimes, you know, all the muscle and all that work you did, you know, you make a cut wrong or something, it just goes ahead and pops. So those are unfortunate things that happen. But this is the time of the year that it happens. You'll see more guys having these major, major injuries in the first 2 weeks just because of the semantics of what training camp is all about. So let's hope the Chiefs can get through this period without having any of those issues.
We're talking to Tim Grunhard here on the program, brought to you by CB the American Shaman. Grunny, I'm sure you saw the comments from Frank Clark over the weekend about getting himself in better shape and changing some things in his diet and, you know, not drinking and all that stuff to kind of double down and get ready to go, because I think he might have seen the end of his playoff or his football career coming this way. What'd you think of what you heard him say, and, you know, maybe what we can expect from a different Frank Clark possibly this year for the Chiefs?
Yeah, you know, I liked what he said. I think sometimes the older you get, the more you realize that clock is ticking and you only have so many more chances left. And sometimes you have to make adjustments that maybe you didn't think you'd have to make, but you do. I think that a lot of times, you know, you maybe eat the same way when you're 21 and you eat the same way when you're 30. You know how it is. I mean, it's harder to, you know, to get yourself in that kind of shape. And sometimes you put some bad weight on. And, you know, maybe, you know, there were some things that he was doing last year during the season or in the off season with some things on the side that he maybe had to address. And I think that's a good thing. Hey, listen, Andy Reid lit the fire under his ass. He told him, he said, listen, you didn't play up to the standards that we expect you to play at last year, and you need to pick up your game. And I'm glad he took it to heart, because a lot of times, especially older guys, they'll take that personal, and they'll maybe pout a little bit, and sometimes you'll take it wrong, and it's counterproductive. I give him a lot of credit. I give Frank a lot of credit. He took the criticism. Remember, you can criticize the performance, but try not to criticize the performer. And I think that Andy did a good job in saying, listen, we love you. You know, we think you could be a great football player, but your performance isn't to where we need it to be. So he criticized the performance, not the performer. And when you do that, a lot of times that'll sink in and guys will take it to heart. And I think he did a great job. And I've watched some of the film on him. I obviously haven't been up there, but I've watched some of the film that I could see on different media sites. And he looks a lot quicker. He looks a lot faster. And you know what? He looks a lot smoother. So that's a positive for him. So let's hope that equates into some sacks and having a good year for Frank Clark, because they certainly need him.
Yeah, and you know, you only have a certain amount of time to play this game, right? And he's made a lot of money. But there's still money laying around out there for guys at his position who can go put quarterback on the ground. And it's probably, you know, a come to Jesus for him, really, to say, I can go still do this.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you have that. I mean, I remember there were times in my career where I came off of a year or two, and I said, man, I just didn't play the way I wanted to play that year. I mean, you know, as an offensive line, it's just a couple percentage points here or there on some of your grading and everything else. But you still feel like, you know what, I left something on the field there that I probably shouldn't have done. And you make adjustments. And whether you make that adjustments by film study, make that adjustments by different training techniques, or whether you make that adjustment by working on different techniques and fundamentals, or maybe you just realize, hey, maybe I was carrying some bad weight, and I'm getting older, and it's time to, you know, shed some of that and don't put that kind of stress on my legs and my body. And you make those decisions, and, you know, sometimes they pay off, sometimes they don't. You know, once you get to about that age of 30, you know, there's certain guys that are playing in their 40s now, which is unbelievable. When you hit that age of 30, that's the magic number. You've got to make some adjustments, and, you know, it's hard to do. So, you know, Frank's getting close to that. So, you know, I'm glad that he's making these adjustments now, and let's hope that it pays off for him.
That's Tim Grunhard. He is on the air talking about the Chiefs and what's going on. We're going to take a break, come back and talk to Tim a little bit more about what's happening around the NFL. The Royals haven't traded anyone. That's what it is. Hey, we've got the 100-year anniversary celebration going on next Thursday. Josh Briscoe is live down at Red Door Grill in Brookside. Swing by there between now and 5:30. You can sign up to try to win tickets for nothing. It's a great chance to do it. Briscoe's down there in Brookside giving away tickets today. Go check him out. More Grunny next on the program.
All right, the Joe's Kansas City Barbecue burnt end of the hour answer. Give you some burn-ins.
Hmm.
Burn-ins and a ring tonight, maybe at Joe's?
Maybe.
How many Heisman Trophy winners have played at least one game for the Chiefs, or the Chefs, as someone inadvertently called them over the weekend?
Tim Grunhard, do you have an answer to that question? I know you didn't win the Heisman Trophy, but the vote, you just missed out on the top 10.
What was the question? I missed
it. Name a player who has played one game.
I said, how many?
Oh, how many?
How many Heisman Trophy winners have played at least one game for the Chiefs?
I can think of one. It was a teammate of Tim's.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, gosh. A teammate of mine, huh?
You blocked for him for 5 seasons. The final five seasons of his career.
Very, very big run in your win in Houston.
Oh, Marcus Allen.
Yeah, there's Allen. One.
The other was the author of the most famous play in Chiefs history up until Wasp. Probably still is because it's been around.
Was that the matriculation play?
65 toss power trap, Mike Garrett.
So I'll go two.
And there is one more.
I knew this one.
This is actually, Todd got this before he got Mike Garrett, which was kind of amazing. Billy Cannon, the Heisman Trophy winner in 1959, played six or seven games for the Chiefs in 1970.
That was before Tim played for the Chiefs.
Yes, he was born on this date in 1937. Passed
slightly
away
before. FYI, the Royals still haven't traded anybody.
No.
Okay, so 25 minutes to go. Nothing's happening. Frustration grows online with Royals fans. Yeah. And we still have about an hour to go if you'd like to head to Red Door Grill in Brookside to get a cool drink and buy one for Josh Briscoe. But more importantly, sign up to win a pair of tickets to the 100-year celebration happening next Thursday night at the Midland. That's the Red Door Grill in Brookside till 5:30. Well, you know what? Let's do this right now. Let's give away a pair here as well, Tim. Caller number 8 right now. You'll win a pair of tickets as well. So we're just giving stuff away. Would you like to give anything away, Tim? Do you have anything you want to give away?
Yeah, absolutely.
No, you don't have to yet. Don't do it. Don't confuse us with the stuff. I know you're going to have some books here at some point you're going to be giving away.
I am.
Yes.
Absolutely.
We will. Hey, let me ask you a few questions about what's happening league-wide right now, Grunny. The Miami Dolphins got their owner, Stephen Ross, got fined $1.5 million today, suspended by the league, and they lost their first-round draft pick next year because they tampered. And other things like this. They didn't end up getting punished for what they said was tanking. We'll get into that in a second. But the tampering thing, number one, they're sitting there trying to get Tom Brady. They're trying to get Sean Payton, and they didn't get either one of them. And now they cost themselves big time.
Yeah, I was reading about that, the tampering. I didn't have any idea that was what it was. When I opened up the article, the reader earlier today, I thought for sure they'd be talking about those tanking and how the owner asked the coach to lose games, and according to what the coach had to say. But the Tom Brady thing, that's interesting, and Sean Payton. Yeah, first of all, you're 0-2 and trying to get those guys signed up with the team, and then you get fined in the draft. So that's double. You know, I think this happens a lot more than we know. I think it's a lot of back channels. I say, listen, you know Tom Brady, or do you know this guy, you know that guy? Can you give him a call and tell him we're interested, or ask them if they're interested? So I think that happens. So it must have been pretty blatant. I didn't really particularly read the whole article, how they addressed or how they tried to get Tom Brady. Maybe I think that somebody said that they were going to make him a limited partner in the team as part owner of the team if he came in or something. So I don't know, but it does happen. This tampering thing is something that's been going on forever. But I think the NFL is trying to crack down on this. And if you're blatant about it, and all it takes is one guy to say, hey, you know, I got contacted by this organization to try to do this, this, or that. And if they could put together a text message or an email or any kind of communication, they got you. And I know we're seeing this with a lot of owners in the league. And it's just interesting because we saw what happened with the Washington Commanders or whatever they are, you know, with the institutional lack of control they had there. And there was some fines and some different issues there. And so this is happening around the league a bunch more than I remember. But I'm sure that this is nothing new. You know, this isn't new, this tampering. It's not new that some organizations weren't treating people in the organization correctly. It's just nowadays with whistleblowers and emails and communication and everything else, you know, it's a lot easier to prove.
Well, quickly, my guess is Brian Flores knew. He was the head coach there then. I mean, that could be your whistleblower right there. I'm just putting two and two together. I don't know.
But what axe would he grind? What would be his motivation?
What would his motivation? I have no idea.
Gosh, I don't know. I'd kind of like to live at least a year in a parallel universe where anything goes. Like, that there was no punishment. Hey, tamper away. See what happens just to see how teams would operate. I mean, there's an argument to be made. I'm not sure how convincing it is that there should be no boundaries in that regard.
Well, the only thing is if you're, and I don't know all the logistics of it, and I frankly don't care too much about it. But to your point, if somebody's under contract and you're trying to manipulate him to break his contract and go to another organization, I could see how that would ruffle some feathers. But I don't know. Was Tom Brady retired, and then, you know, and he decided, you know, that's when they said, hey, you retired. Would you like to come over here? We'll give you some ownership in the Miami Dolphins.
Well, just so you know, Tim, the details are this was happening during the 2019 season, his last season with the Patriots, like before the season and everything. So, I mean, this was true, legit, real-life tampering that you're not supposed to do, you know?
Yeah. Can't do that, and but to Curtis's point, this has been going on for a long, long time. It's just that now, because of, you know, different avenues that you can kind of, you know, trace back the clues with emails and text messages and everything else. You know, emails never go away. Those text messages basically never go away. Somebody may have them somewhere, and you're going to use them. And I agree with you. I think Coach Flores probably saying, "Hey, listen, you think that they weren't tanking. Well, how about this one? They tried to get Tom Brady to come here, while he was still a Patriot, and then I'm sure he wasn't too happy when they were trying to get another coach in there.
Right.
So, you know, that's it's interesting that it's going to. Hey, listen." Institutional control has never been a strong point for a lot of organizations in the NFL. I will give the Chiefs and the Hunt family a lot of credit, and I'm not just saying this because I was a Chief, but they, you know what, I think that they respected the Shield and respected the game and respected the NFL and have tried to do things the right way. But there are shady people out there. I mean, Curtis, you turned me on to that Laker deal on HBO.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if that is any indication of what was going on in '78,
right,
then, you know, wow. I mean, so I'm sure that there's a lot of truth in some of these different things that are coming out now about the Wild West it used to be in the NFL.
So we're talking to Tim Grunhard from the Chiefs Hall of Fame. That's what I'm calling it, Chiefs Hall of Fame, Ring of Honor is where Tim Grunhard is. Well, he's in Florida right now. He'll be back here because football season is coming, Timmy. And, you know, one of the things I remember – now, listen, the Chiefs got in trouble for tampering to get Jeremy Maclin, okay? They lost a draft pick, but they got their guy.
Yeah.
And now there's a legal tampering period in free agency. That's a different deal than what was going on with this situation. But I remember asking – Andy Reid one time during the season after Alex Smith almost died and asked him if he had reached out to him, and he said he couldn't because that's tampering. You can't talk. So I think you're right. They generally try to follow these rules, especially during the season. Now, you get that little gray area on after the season's over and what's going down. It's a different thing. And that was a ridiculous rule. You can't try to reach out to see how a dude who you played was on your team for 5 years and helped you, you know, reestablish, you know, legitimate football here in this town. Because the rules, so it, some of the rules are silly, but they're there for this reason.
It should be on the league to be able to have to prove that the contact made was in pursuit of a player.
Good faith or something, And this, and now the other side of this thing that they're not getting in trouble for, Tim, is the tanking part of it. And we see tanking has happened in baseball a bunch. We've seen tanking happen in the NBA. That's why they have the lottery. And the league, the NFL, is adding games, which makes it, I think, it goes both ways. You know, you have more chances to win, but you also have more chances to lose. So maybe teams would start tanking. And whether these statements from Stephen Ross were taken in jest or whatever, Brian Flores thought they were real, like he was should lose games. And he's getting away with this one, it looks like. Because there's not going to be a real trouble with this part of it. But that's an issue. They don't want teams not trying to win in the league. Because if you're playing a team that needs to win and you don't try to win, that affects another team who's trying to win in the playoffs.
Well, look at the Kansas City Chiefs. Thank God for the Miami Dolphins. What was it, in 2018? Yeah, they were out of it. And they Patriots came down there and they beat the Patriots. And the Chiefs got home field all the way through. That's a positive. I don't know. I just can't see it. Especially just looking at it as a player, you only have certain amount of chances. This league, nothing is promised you. We were just talking about, guys blowing their knees out. Now, in this day and age, where surgeries aren't everything else, see, these guys will be back and they'll be just as good as new, most likely. But, you only have a certain amount of chances. And if you found out that your coach or your organization was tanking and you're out there and you're putting your body on the line, you're putting your career on the line every snap, every game, that would be something I just couldn't swallow. I just couldn't understand that. So, I don't know. I think in baseball, it's kind of a talked about or unwritten rule or unwritten scheme of this tanking that, hey, listen, we're not any good. We're gonna bring a bunch of young guys up and we're gonna trade away our good players and you could tank games that way. But the NFL is just not set up that way. And if that happened, then that's something that certainly needs to be nipped in the bud because, listen, the integrity of the game is something that the NFL is always worried about. And I've told you guys this before, the very first meeting that the Chiefs had up in training camp in St. Joe, they walked into the room, they walked into the meeting room, they sat down, Andy Reid said a couple words, and then somebody from the commissioner's office or maybe even somebody from the FBI, Jeff Lanza, used to come talk to us all the time. And he would say, hey, listen, guys, gambling is the biggest concern the NFL has about the integrity of the game. If we find out that anybody here is gambling on the game, or if we find out you're associating with people that are gambling and you know about it, even if you don't know about it, we're going to let you know because we have to keep the integrity of the NFL game solid. And gambling is one of those things that will chip away very, very quickly on that integrity. So I'm sure that this is not a topic that Roger Goodell really wants to deal with or handle, is this tanking thing. The integrity of the game is so important in the NFL, and I'm sure that this is being addressed. And once you get a little crack in that integrity, once you lose a little bit of faith from the fans, it's so hard to get it back.
Yeah, no question about it. That's a big concern for sure. We'll see where this all ends up going. Timmy, I know where you're going to be going. That's probably to the beach, and you're going to be coming back here soon because football season is getting here quickly. Thanks for your time today, and appreciate it very much, buddy.
Yeah, you know what? This is kind of the last week. I get back on Sunday, and Monday we start Bishop EH football stuff. So, college football is getting ready to start. The NFL is well on its way. High school football is here. It's the best time of the year, guys. Got a lot to talk about. It's going to be an exciting year for the Kansas City Chiefs and hopefully for our local teams. And don't forget about your high school games that are all around the town on Friday nights. Nothing like a high school football game. So football's here, guys. Can't wait to talk about it.
Love it, buddy. Thank you, Timmy. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys.
All right, there's Tim Grunhard down in Florida. Hey, the Royals haven't made any trades yet. I'm just letting you know. The Twins are just trading as we go. They've got Michael Fulmer now. The Twins have made three
wait
trades.
Wait for it. Now we've got 11 minutes.
11 minutes to go. All right, we're going to take a break. And then we're going to come back and tell you about a big trade the Royals just made. My fingers are crossed. It ain't happening. It ain't happening. You're listening to the program on a trade deadline Tuesday. All right, we just had a break. Some trades?
Yes, but nothing involving the Royals.
Oh, not the Royals?
Phillies have acquired Noah Syndergaard for a prospect, Mickey Moniak. And a prospect.
What?
Royals fans. Are you disappointed,
Noah Syndergaard
Royals
for
fans?
One prospect, Mickey Moniak, and a prospect.
Well, a former Royal Trevor Rosenthal got traded.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
As did a former Royal...
Eric Hosmer. He got traded.
I believe Brett Phillips has been traded also.
Former Royal.
Former Royal farmhand Estuary Ruiz got traded yesterday, right? Was that the day before?
I thought Moniak, he was a 1-1.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes 1-1s don't make it.
No.
He was just involved as the what you send to a team.
Yeah.
For a frontline starter.
So here's what's going to happen, all right? We got Need to Know coming up after 5.
Mm-hmm.
Got Mike Sando after that.
Yep.
How long is our end of the hour break going to be, Adam? 2 minutes, 3 minutes? What's going to get us right up to 5? Because that's when the trade will happen, right during that. We got 3 minutes at the end here. What do we got?
During that break, I mean, I'm going to fire that end of the hour music roundabout. I planned on about 56:50.
Okay.
And that will have us back at about 5:02.
Okay. So in that stretch, as Curtis said, I mean, the deadline's a deadline. But it could be a couple minutes after where something amazing happens. The Royals haven't changed their lineup yet tonight, though, have they?
Nope.
No? This is pretty disappointing stuff for Royals
happening.
Fans.
Mets and Giants.
They're happening right up to the wire.
Cardinals and Yankees in a trade. Mentioned the Phillies picking up Syndergaard,
Melendez, Witt Jr.,
trades
Perez,
still
Pasquantino, Dozier, Merrifield, Isbell, Taylor, Lopez, Keller. 56 minutes ago, the Royals put that lineup out. Yep. They haven't changed it.
Yeah, pretty soon we'll be the under four.
You know what?
If
we can just say things now, like we're going to be more transactional, I'm going to be more punctual.
You can be more punctual. You're going to eat better.
Yeah. If we can just say
exercise
things,
more. Yeah. I'm going to be so skinny. I'm going to be so in shape. I'm gonna need fancy haircuts because my hair grows. Just saying stuff.
This city is going to turn over a card table.
Here's the thing. I think a lot of Chiefs fans, Royals fans, I just said it wrong. They don't care.
They've
checked out. And if you do
care. I think they cared about this.
I think you're right. I think most of them who were into the game understand that this team looks like it's going nowhere right now. And if you bring all these guys back, what are you hoping for?
Yes.
70 wins? 75
I don't
wins?
I don't think they're in a mood to hear, well, we just couldn't agree on compensation.
Well, that's what it's going to be, I think.
That's what it's going to be, but that is not going to be accepted.
This felt like the kind of year where it was too obvious. They were just going to have trades happening. There's the beginning of our end of the hour music. The clock is ticking right now.
The next time you hear news will be Rico Sports Center, so maybe he'll have something to talk about.
Oh, this will be tough. Right in the middle of it, have to on the fly. Are you ready to pronounce everyone's name and say they've all been traded? Hey, here, by the way, your script is fine. Yeah, ain't nothing happening.
The lead to get above what I'm sure is no moves.
Maybe. Now is another Yankees one here. Harrison Bader from the Cardinals for Jordan Montgomery. Come on, man. We're going to give you this little stretch of wonderful commercial breaks to make a trade. You're on the clock, man. Super disappointing afternoon so far, but it can all change in just a blink of an eye. Maybe that will happen. Either way, we're going to tell you whether you needed to know it or not next on the program.
All right, how many players, 23 or younger, have been traded during an All-Star season? Brought to you by Good Sense.